Blog Talk Radio.
So now it's time to turn it up, surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point, then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling. Episode 309, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. I am Chris Featherstone. As always, follow us on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this week's interview is to a legend in the business. He's been wrestling. He was wrestling for a long time, three decades of wrestling for many different promotions, Continental Wrestling Federation, Continental Wrestling Association. You have the WCW, of course, WWE for a number of years. And a lot of wrestling experience, a lot of wrestling stories to give. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring on the show former member of the Orient Express, Pat Tanaka's partner, Max Moon. He had a few different characters in his career. Paul Diamond on the show tonight. How are you tonight, sir?
Good, good. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing fantastic. So, as I was saying, you went through a few incarnations in the WWE. Before that, I mean, you played soccer and you took a turn to professional wrestling, wrestled in Texas for a while. What made you make the decision to become a pro wrestler as opposed to continue to endeavor in the soccer career?
Well, you know, soccer really was the only thing I wanted to do. I don't know if you know, I was actually born in Croatia.
Croatia,
in Canada. You know, in Europe.
Yeah.
But soccer is the only thing there is, really. But what happened was in 1984, I was playing in the North American Soccer League, and the league actually folded.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I didn't want a real job.
Yeah.
So I had kind of been watching wrestling and, you know, realized that, well, you need to, I guess, to be a good athlete, you know, you could probably do well at this. And so I decided to give it a go. That was really pretty much it. I really, you know, just kind of wanted to make a living in some sort of a sports endeavor or whatever it may have been. So that's how I went from soccer to, you know, into wrestling.
Wow. And you spent decades in the wrestling community. A couple of notable things that you were a part of, as I mentioned previously, was Let's start with Max Moon. Of course, Conan donned the persona prior to you, and I've talked to Conan before. There's plenty of reports saying that there's some type, but there were some differences, and you were chosen to replace Conan as Max Moon. And of course, you competed at the very first episode of Monday Night Raw. Now, Now, how were you chosen to be the new Max Moon, and how was that experience competing at the first Raw?
I mean, it was the way that I got chosen is just kind of a lot of thing. They had, like you said, had, you know, planned to have Conan do this, and at one of the TV tapings, I have no idea why or what had happened. I guess. I don't know if Conan had, you know, let you know as to what may have happened, but he just never showed up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I was talking to some people at the TV taping and, you know, saying, you know, you guys made all the fancy costumes, and, you know, he had some, like, robotic type of other pieces that went with this kid, and spent all this money, and now you have nobody, you know, to use it. And I said, you know, heck, you make a few small alterations, I could probably fit into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Vince's office was right off to the side, and he kind of heard this, and, you know, he had given it some thought, and about a half hour later, I was still standing there, and he said, you, and he pointed at me, said, come here. And he brought me into his office, and I'm like, oh, my God, what'd I do? You know, I get fired. And he said, well, you know, I heard you say that. He said, you know, what you said? He goes, okay, you got it. Do what you want with it. It's yours.
Wow.
Okay? So, I mean, you know, that's the thing about wrestling. People don't realize just being in the right place at the right time, it could, you know, give you a big break.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Were there any plans with the Max Moon character? I mean, it was mostly used as a way to put other people over. Were there any other plans?
Yeah, I believe there were. I'm not sure exactly, you know, what had happened. My contract was coming to an end probably within 6 months or so. And I really don't know why the original plan was discontinued. So I'll never get that answer, I guess.
Yeah.
Everything was going well. In fact, at the Royal Rumble, I was supposed to work with Terry Taylor. We had been going around and, you know, having some awesome matches, and mm-hmm. They wanted to open the Royal Rumble with that. But then all of a sudden, something changed, and they canceled that match and put me in the actual Royal Rumble, which I was in for all of about 2 minutes before getting eliminated. And, you know, and then, you know, once my contract expired, nobody really would give me any idea as to what was going on. Other than I got my thing slipped by FedEx in the mail. So I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. And the crazy thing about that is, what, it was a year later that you came back to team with Tanaka?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, so they shipped you your, you know, your termination papers, and did someone contact you, you know, within a matter of months to bring you back on board? How did that come about as far as...
You know what? I think we're a little bit confused here. Actually, when I started with WWE, you know, right before that, we were at AWA, and Pat had left AWA, and he had got the job with WWE first, and he was a part of the original Orient Express with Sato.
Right.
After Sato decided to go back to Japan, they needed somebody to, you know, fill in to Orient Express.
Right.
So that's when they contacted me. And so we did the Orient Express thing first.
And then Max Moon.
Then, you know, once Orient Express kind of ran its course. They didn't have really anything for me to do. They let Matt go, and that's when I fell into the Maximum thing. And
right.
Then, you know, things
right.
to the end.
And you went to ECW after that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, that was the second time I'd actually. Pat and I worked for ECW, worked for Paulie, early on when they first started in Philly, and you know, when it was just kind of getting going. And
yeah.
So the second time, you know, they were in, they were going very well, and you know, doing some good things at that time. The second time after I had finished with WWE, so that was pretty fun.
How was it work with Paul Heyman? I mean, there's, you know, there's people who said that he was a really good way. He did a really good job of manipulating people, but. As far as financially, but making him feel like $1 million at the same time. How was it working with Paulie?
That's about right, you know. he had a way about things. I mean, that, you know, it was one place I've never seen a more disorganized company in my life. You know, you'd be at a show, and the show would be starting at 8 o'clock, and it'd be 7:45, and he still didn't have a card made up. You know, and that was kind of weird. I mean, they advertised their shows, but it was never given a card.
Yeah.
You know, they just listed a bunch of names, and then he made up the card as things got whatever he thought would. I don't know. I'm not really sure. But
wow.
It was really, really disorganized. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It was really, really. But, I mean, you know, and for being as disorganized as it was, it did awesome. I mean, I can't believe how well it did.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
Yeah. For 7 years, it just – it only lasted 7 years, but it created such a memorable legacy for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, and the following, that was – yeah. I mean, you get your – you know, following that people went and followed it everywhere. That's
yeah, even to this day. even
yeah,
to this day, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Last thing I want to talk about is Jeff Jarrett just got inducted. He got announced to be an inductee for the 2018 Hall of Fame. You tagged with Jarrett in your early days of wrestling. What are your overall thoughts on working with Jeff Jarrett and, you know, just your thoughts of him being inducted in the Hall of Fame this year?
Well, you know, Jeff had turned out to be a real good talent. But, you know, I guess wrestling sometimes it's not necessarily what we know, but who we know. And
mm-hmm.
you know, Jeff, not that he didn't deserve the breaks that he got. Like I said, he was a good talent and a good worker. But at the same time, you know, his father, Jerry Jarrett, had owned the Tennessee territory there, Tennessee company. I had worked for them. And that's actually when Jeff had just graduated from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had briefly were tag team partners. But shortly after that is when I first tagged up with Pat Tanaka and actually – worked against Jeff and Billy Travis.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he was just getting started. Like I said, he was 18 years old, skinny as a rail, and, you know, just out of high school. So he was learning his way, but he did very well.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he was a good talent. But, you know, I'm just not sure that anybody else that had the same abilities, we would have got the breaks that he had his father not been a promoter.
Yeah, certainly. So let the listeners know what you're doing nowadays and where they can find you on social media.
Well, I'm on Facebook, obviously. You know, I don't really do a whole lot. You know, every now and then I do go to some autograph signings and stuff, but not
cool.
that much.
Yeah.
You know, the business has changed a lot. I follow it, you know, a little bit, run into some people every now and then, but not nearly as much as, you know, other guys may be into it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. It's been a pleasure having you on the show tonight. I just, you know, I've interviewed hundreds of people. I interview someone every week, but it's always great to have just an old school territorial interview. I love those, some of my favorite interviews, and I was just, you know, just in this little bit of time, I soaked up so much knowledge just for your thoughts on different people by having experience of working with them. So I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and really glad to have been able to enlighten you with some of my knowledge, whatever that may have been. Thank you.
Awesome. Have a good night. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bring what you got. The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
Four corners, free. Our mind. Let's go. The whole squad is making it clear we taking this year. You know who we are, but you don't know why we here. So this is where the big boys play. These big boys play like who defies the living God. Get out the big boys way. Outsiders with the swoop in. We live as kings, you see in us. But our third man waits in the wings. And when the time is right, we shock him with the proper attack. I go for Dolo, but ain't solo. Cut the promo in black. Hollywood, Hendrix, Frizzle, pinning them to the mat.
And I'm Dash Wunderkin with the strength of 100 men, with one intent, to see the will fulfilled of the one who sent his son to give himself. But you rap about your gas and your rags torture, white coffins when I drop a bomb. My mic's awesome, never lost faith. You in all space, you can all skate, suffer but never crippled. No bin walls in my cross face. From here to Saturday raving, anticipating I was frostbit, now I am glacier, mixed with some Vader. Get to hawking with these animals, you and God for my defense. In Alabama, we jamming. That's beautiful. Bobby Eaton, me and Priest, we the dangerous alliance. Nah, the Harlem Heat. Tie the do-rag before we do battle. You're talking sheep. You all what you speak. This too sweet.
Till the genre is took back, we repping that wolf pack. The foundation shaking, no mistaking. Yeah, we shook that. Trust in God, we trust. Pushing forward, never look back. Meekness ain't at all weakness. Some people mistook that. Stamping out this crook rap. He turning the power on the razor's edge, leg drop after a power bomb. Tired of the lies, man, we bringing the truth through. Diligent and fruitful, the owners in our group too. It's good to be king, sold out, this war is brutal.
We playing them war games, our army go move too. You through, I'm in the Raptors with a bat in my hand, and stand to shatter all your plans so they don't matter. In the grand scheme, it's that easy. We tag teaming, Steiner brothers, we love it. Demand the win, establish it. This the clash of the champions.
This is where the big boys play, huh? We ain't here to play.
And a special thank you to Paul Diamond. Paul Diamond, ladies and gentlemen, the Orient Express, former tag team partner of Jeff Jarrett, former member of ECW. Paul Diamond, what a great interview. I love having interviews like that with old school talent that's been in the territories, has been in the business for quite some time. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 309 of the Pancakes and Power Slam show. I am joined with you as always. I'm Chris Featherstone. Of course, follow us at Crave Wrestling on Twitter, at Crave Wrestling, and join the Facebook fan page, Crave Wrestling. Of course, you can be interactive with us through our live stream. Also, you can be interactive with us through the hashtag PanSlams. We got a bunch to talk about today. We got Raw, we got SmackDown, we got Elimination Chamber. Of course, we have the headlines as always, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, we have the fight of the week this week. We have WrestleMania trivia, WrestleMania 9 and 10 trivia throughout the night tonight. Of course, if you know your WrestleMania trivia between WrestleMania 9 and WrestleMania 10, I'm going to ask them, and you're going to answer if you know it. So, and this week, we're also going to do part two. We did it a few weeks ago. We're also going to do part two of the fight of the week this week. I'm going to give you, hand you, or let you look at some names. And we're going to discuss some people who aren't in the Hall of Fame that could be in the Hall of Fame, could not be in the Hall of Fame. It's totally up to you as far as your thoughts on it. And then I'm going to give you the name, and you're going to give me just what you think, your thoughts. Should this person be in the Hall of Fame that we are going to discuss? I'm going to give you someone,
and you're going to let me know if they should be or should not be in the WWE Hall of Fame. That is our segment that we do every night. At the end of the night, we do our Flavor of the Week segment. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we got some headlines to talk about tonight. We got a lot of interesting headlines to talk about tonight. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time. Headlines. Here we go. Let's talk about some Bray Wyatt, ladies and gentlemen. Bray Wyatt. I'm not going to go too far into just his personal life. I'm gonna discuss what's been reported. Is so allegedly Bray Wyatt is he's using some of his money. He's using some of his child support money. Reportedly, Wyatt Mikey. Robert, I'll be giving you a list of names at the end of the show. You'll let me know if they should be in the Hall of Fame or not. But, yeah, we're talking about Bray Wyatt. So, reportedly, Bray Wyatt, he was supposed to spend about almost $15,000 a month in child support. He's given some of that money to JoJo. So, for those who aren't aware, Bray Wyatt was married, has two kids with his wife, Samantha, his estranged wife, Samantha. Now, apparently they've split and they are, on odds, and Samantha decided to be a homemaker, when Bray Wyatt started to have a successful career as a professional wrestler. So with that, since they're at odds and since they're not okay, since they're very at odds with each other, now they split because Samantha found out that Bray was cheating on her with JoJo from the WWE, who was in a heavy relationship with her I forgot his name. I think Vader's son. I don't remember his name. But they were in a pretty heavy relationship for a while. So apparently they broke up. And so now JoJo is dating Bray Wyatt. And Bray Wyatt is showering her with gifts. Some bikini wear. Jake Carter is his name. Yeah, got a question here. How do they know the money was supposed to be for child support? Well, it's supposed to be for spousal support. It wasn't supposed to be for child support. It's supposed to be for spousal support, which is different than child support. So basically that's what it is. It's spousal support, and it was supposed to be I think they were supposed to be like $50,000 up front. Almost it was $14,000 and some change. Now they and out of the almost $15,000 a month, Bray is supposed to be paying Samantha. Reportedly, he's only paying Samantha about $6,000 a month, which is about two and a half times less than what he's supposed to be paying Bray Wyatt. So. Yeah, it's quite ugly. It's not okay. It's not fun. It's a really tough position to be in that type of scenario. And my hope is that even if they're not together anymore, even if it don't work out, I just hope and pray that they get it all taken care of. Because the kids is what matters. You know, you want to do your own thing and whatever, you know, I have my own beliefs about that. But if you want to make it ugly, don't make it ugly for the kids. So that's the most important thing out of all this. And so does Bray Wyatt want to remain JoJo's sugar daddy in innocence. Perhaps, maybe, maybe not. I don't know how long this will last. I don't know how long this will be a thing between. I mean, you know, there's all types of flares. There's of flings when it comes to the professional wrestling business as far as relationships are concerned. So I'm not sure. We just saw one with Alberto El Patron and Paige. There's all types of this flings all the time, the professional wrestling business. So will Bray Wyatt and JoJo last? Who knows? I would hope, I would imagine that they want to be serious with each other. Bray Wyatt is so serious about being with JoJo, apparently, that he's willing to pay, you know, he was ordered to pay almost $15,000. And he is paying him about, you know, reportedly about $6,000 a month. So JoJo better be the best girlfriend or the best relationship that he could possibly ever have, because yeah, it's costly. It's a lot of money dating JoJo right now, and you know, Bray Wyatt, you know, apparently he is enjoying being with JoJo, or at least showering her with gifts. So Samantha doesn't like it. She's not a fan of it. She's hoping that she gets her money. She decided, you know, on her end, she's saying, "Hey, I made the decision to be a homemaker. I made a decision to stop my, you know, professional endeavors to stay at home, raise the kids while you know, pursue your dreams, you know." She has a point to an extent. I mean, that's it. You know, I got three kids. I have a wife and three kids, and it is not easy to take care of, to be a home mom. My wife, she works a part-time job, but she stays at home a chunk of the time, and it is not an easy task to do that. Martin's asking, who do I want in the WWE Hall of Fame? So I've got a list of names here, and we're going to talk about that at the end of the show. Who do you want in the WWE Hall of Fame? Who do I want in the WWE Hall of Fame? Before we go into these questions at the end of the show, I'm going to answer that question, Martin. I want someone who's in the Hall of Fame who is not currently, who should be, I would say the British Bulldog. That would be someone who I think should be in the Hall of Fame who is currently not. Now does Davey Boy? Now is Davey Boy Smith? Yes, but does oh goodness, Billington? Dynamite Kid is the other British Bulldog. Does he deserve, or should he be in the Hall of Fame? I don't know. The British Bulldogs as a tag team, do they go into the Hall of Fame? Should they be in the Hall of Fame? I don't think so. As a tag team, I don't think so. The British Bulldog as a singles career, I say yes. I say emphatically yes. Bam Bam Bigelow, we got a comment here. Bam Bam Bigelow, yes, absolutely. And I think that he's could go in. He's reportedly supposed to go in today, not today, but this year. So I definitely think Bam Bam Bigelow would join Ted DiBiase as people in Coco Beware, as people who never won a official singles championship, but it will be in the Hall of Fame. Teddy Biasi was a tag team champion. Coco Beware didn't win anything. And Bam Bam Bigelow did not win a single title in the WWE. Isn't that crazy? I would imagine if Bam Bam Bigelow goes in, I would imagine that they would probably show his ECW footage as well, since WWE owns the rights of ECW footage, I would imagine they would use some of his ECW footage to kind of, you know, beef his Hall of Fame induction up. I'm sure they'll use, you know, 1995 WrestleMania when he made even against LT, which is, I mean, as far as career peak, career moments, that was it. I mean, the 95 Royal Rumble. Other than that, I mean, that's really about it, really, as far as just Bam Bam Bigelow's, you know, huge achievements. I think he was the last person in the first Survivor Series. Was that 87, I believe? I think he was the last person in that Survivor Series. So, and I think he got eliminated by Andre, if I'm not mistaken. Someone's asking, Christopher's asking, Cyndi Lauper. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely she should be in the Hall of Fame as far as on the celebrity wing. They're talking about Kid Cash this year, which I'm okay with, too. I'm okay with Kid Cash going in there, too. I mean, the celebrity wing, I mean, it's so subjective in the first place. There's no real rhyme or reason with this celebrity wing. You can put anybody in there. I think Dick Ebersol, I think he should go. Why not? I mean, you know, XFL. And it would be so funny if Dick Ebersol goes into the Hall of Fame in 2020 when the XFL resurrects. That would be very timely for Ebersol to be in the celebrity wing of the Hall of Fame. Chris Benoit, no, I think he's tarnished his career too much. I think that whole deal was just Earl Hebner. Absolutely, I think Earl Hebner should be in the Hall of Fame. Ted Turner, should he? No, I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame. All right, next headline: pile drivers and blood cannot be used for WrestleMania week. There was some Louisiana rules, you know, regulations commission that we reported it on Wrestling Inc. This should not be a big issue for WWE as far as just not being able to use pile drivers or blood. They've banned this for quite some time during the PG era. There was a very crazy, unfortunate incident that happened, I think, within the past few years, because I don't think these restrictions were the same at WrestleMania 31 when it was in New Orleans before. I don't think these restrictions were the same. But, it's not going to be a big deal. Kane does the pile driver. Of course, The Undertaker does the pile driver. I don't see Kane in some marquee match unless they do him and Braun Strowman. I don't see, you know, if they do Taker Cena, we'll talk about SmackDown here a little bit and Raw as well. If they do Taker Cena, there's always the Hell's Gate, the Gogo Plata submission that he uses. And there's also the Last Ride Powerbomb. He really doesn't use the Last Ride Powerbomb that much anymore. But the Gogo Plata, the Hell's Gate, he's used that before. I think it was either Edge or Triple H that he used to beat at a WrestleMania. One of them he used to beat WrestleMania. I think it was either Edge or Triple H. Demolition, I'm seeing. Glow Wrestling. Should it be a spot for Glow Wrestling? No, I don't think so. Although I'm a huge fan of Glow. Big fan of Glow. I love their resurrection. I love what they did. Got a comment saying 27 Mania. Okay, so WrestleMania 27 is when he used Hell's Gate. I think was that against A? Well, 27 was against Triple H, right? Because he did Michaels for 25 and 26, and then he did Triple H for 27 and 28, and then 29 was what was 29? What was 29? What was 29? Because 30 was Brock. Oh, 29 was Punk. Okay, 29 was Punk. 30 was Brock, 31 was Bray, 32 was Shane, 33 was Reigns. So, I'm seeing, okay, so 27 was, was it 27? I'm seeing 27 and 29. Was it 27 or 29 that he used the Hell's Gate? So, answer that for me on the live chat. 27 or 29, which one was it, Edge or Triple H? I'm seeing Triple H. I'm also seeing 29. But Wyatt was 29. What was Edge? What was Edge? Was that 20? Let's see. Was it 24? It was 20. I think was it 24 with Edge? I believe 24 was Edge. He might have used the Hell's Gate, but he used them one of those times. So yeah, I don't think it should be an issue as far as pile drivers. Here's the big deal though. That's usually, you know, during WrestleMania week, you usually have a lot of the independent. So Hell's Gate, 27, Triple H, nosebleed. Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks, Mikey. So you use the Hell's Gate at 27. I don't think it's going to be an issue for WWE, but I do think it's going to be an issue for all the independent shows. Now, that could be an issue. I'm trying to work on some things now to try to get a big name to make his comments on that. A big name, working on it right now, trying to get that together, to get his comments to you know, as far as how is that going to work, because his promotion, kind of prides itself on bleeding. So that would be quite interesting to see, especially, you have so many, good thing they didn't ban the super kick. Good call, good comment there. If they banned the super kick, a bunch of indie shows would be in big, big trouble. That would be all bad. It wouldn't be. I don't see it as an issue for WWE. But like I said, I do see it as an issue for all the other independent promotions. Just because pile drivers and blood are two, things that people, a lot of independent shows do for the sake of, pleasing the fans. I'm good friends with Bobby Fulton and, legendary Bobby Fulton. And he has his own promotion here in Ohio. And, he's been battling for probably the past year or so. He's been going at it multiple matches with Shane Douglas. And I've witnessed and they've had some bloodbaths, some old school extreme bloodbaths in Ohio here for the World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling. And yeah, I can imagine, that being very common during WrestleMania weekend. I was a part of I did coverage last year, WrestleMania weekend in Orlando, and there were some other, independent shows that was at the WrestleCon and so forth. And yeah, it would be interesting to see if they would have to, substantially alter just their plans because of those restrictions. So, and I'm sure, it shouldn't be, I'm sure it's not like a big issue if you do those things. But a lot of times with those independent promotions, a fine takes a big cut out of the budget, so you definitely don't want to do that. Next headline: Raven comments on being inducted in the Hall of Fame. He said he made some type of analogy. I don't remember. I'll find it for you. He said it's something like. It was commenting, what happens if it's accidental blood? I don't think there's any penalties. It may be, though. It may be if it's accidental blood. So you got to be extra careful. Right? You got to be extra, extra careful if you don't want that issue. Speaking of blood, Raven is someone who is very familiar with bleeding a lot. So Raven said, the question of will I ever be inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame is asked repeatedly. Here are the odds of it happening. First, turn on the news and wait for the weather report. Then watch, and if the meteorologist says something about a snowfall in hell, I'd say my chances are still awful. So, Raven, he should have ended that with, quote, the Raven nevermore. He does not believe that he would be in the Hall of Fame, and personally, I don't believe so as well. Raven had a great ECW career. He really resurrected his career when he was, you know, Johnny Polo and Scotty Flamingo. But does he have is his career strong enough to be a part of the WWE Hall of Fame? Probably not. I don't see, because plus it's not a putting Raven in the Hall of Fame. Like, you, if you're gonna be extreme, you have to be like legendary extreme. Like when they put Abdullah the Butcher in the Hall of Fame, that's because his name is so legendary over the past, 50 years, that his namesake was Hall of Fame worthy because of just everything that was a part of it. Got a comment here saying, I see the Sandman better chance as a ECW Hall of Fame than Raven. Sandman, Raven. Well, Sandman has the most ECW championship rings, doesn't he? If I'm not mistaken, he has he's like five-time champion. I think he has the most reigns, if I'm not mistaken. Tommy Dreamer should be in the Hall of Fame. Now that's actually may work. I definitely think Dreamer has a Hall of Fame career because of his WWE, stint. You know, it's ECW plus WWE. Raven was in WWE for a little bit, but, Dreamer was, part of the WWE for a while. Then he was a part of the WWE's resurrected version of the ECW. So I think it'd probably be a better shot if Dreamer was in than Raven. Because Dreamer was in, backstage involvement as well, as far as recruiting and talent scouting and things like that. So I could definitely see Dreamer there. Chris is saying, what about Taz? I'd say yes for Taz, just because the commentator, and he was a part of the WWE for a while. But Taz actually just he did like a hard shoot on WWE, saying he don't give an S if he's in the Hall of Fame because he has some choice words to say about WWE improperly booking Ronda Rousey on Raw. That's an alliteration for you. Ronda Rousey on Raw. Ronda Rousey on Raw. So I don't know if that will automatically take him out of the Hall of Fame or any chances to get in. But he didn't make it better. He didn't make it better for his shot, for his chances to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. All right, let's do some trivia, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. Let's do some trivia. All right, ladies and gentlemen, first question of the night is, here we go. What type of match was Randy Savage versus Crush at WrestleMania 10? What type of match was Randy Savage versus Crush at WrestleMania 10? That is the first question on deck for tonight. All right, so next headline. Very low attendance at a recent SmackDown show. Retirement. No, it was not a retirement match. Nope, not a retirement match. So I reported last week here on Wrestling Inc. So I don't remember Wrestling News something daily. I don't remember who was the Lewis. Yes, correct. Falls count anywhere. Great job. Great job. Before we go into this low SmackDown Live, I got another question. Here we go. Who were the guest referees of the WWE Championship matches at WrestleMania 10? Who were the guest referees of the WWE Championship matches at WrestleMania 10? So, multi-person answer. Who were the special guest referees for the two WWE Championship matches at WrestleMania 10? So, yeah, SmackDown... SmackDown was good today. We'll talk about SmackDown a little bit more, but SmackDown last week was tough. I think it was in Phoenix. There was a photo that was taken on my show. I had someone on the live stream so that they just came from the Phoenix show. So I got some reports, and yeah, I mean the building was quite bad. It was quite tough, and it was not. It was quite embarrassing. One half was very sparse. There was a huge section that was tarped off. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there were some comments of like it was the beginning of the show, blah, blah, blah. But the reports that I received of people going, they were saying that it was the whole show. There wasn't much growth from that. On the show for the rest of the show. So I don't know if people just weren't interested because it was in Phoenix, the Raw before. Maybe I saw a picture of this week's SmackDown. It was much better. There was the upper section was tarped off, but it was a lot filled in, you know, in the lower bowls. So It was quite embarrassing last year. Last week I think the biggest thing was probably I think the fans probably didn't want to pay double for Raw and SmackDown. It seems like they chose if they wanted to go to Raw or if they wanted to go to SmackDown. People chose Raw, and I think the fact that they were in two cities if after a pay-per-view, after SummerSlam, they usually do the 4-day deal. They usually do TakeOver the Saturday, the pay-per-view Sunday, Raw Monday, and SmackDown Tuesday. But they, like I said, they only usually do that with big pay-per-views like WrestleMania and SummerSlam. So, you know, having it back-to-back in Phoenix, just a random week, not even a go home show. What was the go home? It wasn't the go home show. Yeah, it was the go home show for SmackDown for Elimination Chamber, but Elimination Chamber was a Raw pay per view, so it wasn't even a go home show. Fastlane's not until 2 weeks from now, so yeah, it was really tough to see, and it just we're about to have this dual brand pay per view thing coming back. I really hope they don't end the split because it would get back. I mean, it would ruin SmackDown if they do the split again. If they take the split away, it would ruin SmackDown because before the split, it was really, really tough to see, to watch SmackDown. SmackDown became like Raw Lite. It was just a bad continuation of feuds. I mean, people talk about seeing too much of people now. I mean, back then it was even worse because you saw them on, you know, a 3-hour show on Monday and a 2-hour show on Tuesday. So it was really overkill at that point. So keep the split. I mean, even if it's not working, keep the split. I mean, because you want to showcase some talent, and you don't want to overkill it. I got a question. Is ticket sales a big part of their budget? Yeah, I mean, there was an article I reported a while ago of George Berrios. He's the CFO, and he does like presentations, you know, to gain sponsors, and he does like media presentations and things like that. He does like updates of just like the financial piece. He was talking about just different factors and different elements of where their money is going and where they're coming. And ticket sales is, you know, it is still a big deal. After Edge retired, good comment says, after Edge retired, I lost interest from SmackDown. What is, was it, 2011 when Edge retired? I think it was 2011. So that was the same year because he beats Del Rio at WrestleMania. I think it was 2027 that he beat Del Rio. And then Christian beat Del Rio in the ladder match, you know, like Extreme Rules, because Edge had to retire. I think it was 27. Let me know if I'm right or not. Might have been 28. No, because Del Rio won the Royal Rumble in 2011, because Sheamus won in 2012. So I believe it was 27. Here are the correct answers. Great job. We got a few. We got Lewis, and we also have Mikey answering the question correct. Yokozuna versus Lex Luger had Mr. Perfect. Bret Hart versus Yokozuna had Roddy Piper. Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle provided an injury on Jason Jordan at the Elimination Chamber, saying that he's going to come back immediately following. I agree with you. I missed the SmackDown 6. I agree with you. That was a really huge benefit in SmackDown around 2002, 2003, 2004. SmackDown 6 was huge. So Jason Jordan is not a part of this. He was not a part of SmackDown 6, but, he's starting to become a huge heel. He's starting to become a big name. I think if they properly have used Jason Jordan, to be this kind of smarky, entitled, kind of, heel, you know, trying to pull on, Angle. I think that could work. I think that there could be some interest in an Angle versus Jordan match, like a SummerSlam. It seems like they're going to do Jordan, and Rollins, but, I'm kind of glad they didn't do Jordan Rollins, because Jordan Rollins at Mania, I just don't see the intrigue. I don't think it'll be terrible, but I just I don't see the intrigue. I'm a much better advocate, a much better proponent of Seth Rollins pursuing the Intercontinental Championship than competing against Jason Jordan. But I will say this, when Jason Jordan comes back, that he has the potential to be the strongest heel on Raw, right? Really the strongest heel on WWE. So I think that there's a really good chance that if used correctly, WWE has the ability to do some really, really good things with Jason Jordan as far as being one of the best heels. He's amazing in the ring. Character's bland, but I think with the kind of smarkiness that he has the potential of being one of an amazing strong heel. He already gets a ton of heat. He gets a ton of heat. So keeping that heat for Rollins, keeping that heat would be good for Jordan. Who does he feud against? I would be okay with Seth Rollins winning the Intercontinental Championship and Rollins feuding against Jason Jordan after Mania. I'd be fine with that. I think that would be totally fine. And then you can actually branch it off to the club feuding against the Mysteries, Miz and the Mysteries. You can have a six-man match like at their next pay-per-view. I think Backlash, it'll be a dual-branded pay-per-view. So you can actually branch off two angles. Post-Mania, you can do Seth versus Jason Jordan for the Intercontinental Championship. You can do the club or the Balor Club versus Miz and Mr. Raj in the six-man. So branching off to multiple feuds is a good thing. And if Seth wins the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania, I think that would be a good deal. Next trivia question. Who did the Undertaker defeat at WrestleMania 9? Who did the Undertaker defeat at WrestleMania 9? All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the Raw and SmackDown review. I'd love your thoughts on the Raw and SmackDown review. We will be right back to talk about them. We'll be right back. Giant Gonzalez is the correct answer. Real quick, greatest match in Mania history, got a comment here. Very interesting. Greatest match in Mania history. I think it's up there. Or not. No, I don't think it's up there. Not even close. All right, so what do y'all think of, your thoughts on Raw? Share your thoughts on Raw. What do you feel was the best part, was the worst part? We had Alexa Bliss doing an in-ring promo with Mickie James. Somehow Mickie James became a heel again. That was weird. No rhyme or reason to it at all. Just, I'm going to be a heel again. And this is what I was thinking with Mickie James when I was watching. When I was watching Raw, I said, compared to the Women's Royal Rumble, you had names such as like Kelly, who was definitely, Kelly, but not even close to a legend, not a legend in any stretch of that word. Someone like a Michelle McCool, really, amazing hand. Could argue to be in the Hall of Fame, but legend, I think that's a stretch. You had, people like Tori Wilson, who, her time in WCW and WWE, she was good, rest in peace to Al Wilson. she was good. She was a good hand for WWE. She was a good name while she was there, wasn't really a wrestler at all. Wasn't any type of championship quality or material, legend. No, I wouldn't call Tori Wilson a legend. So it's like, I was looking at those names and, I was like crazy because Mickie James is still a part of the Raw roster. I'm glad that she's getting that Raw paycheck, the WWE paycheck. That's great. However, it's like, man, I think that this may be tarnishing her career just from a legendary Hall of Fame standpoint. Because here's the thing. I was thinking during that segment when she was just standing there and then she became heel just because Alexa Bliss was just talking and then she was with her as her BFF again, and she started attacking who was it, Bailey or Sasha or one of them, or Asuka when it came to the ring. Asuka, and I'm like, this is terrible because it's a legend, a six-time women's champion, Mickie James, is at the point where she just kind of, without rhyme or reason, I'm a heel again. And it was just really, really weird to me. It was really, really odd. Very, very odd to me. And so I was like, man, you know what? You know the crazy part is? If she would retire right now, like if there was an announcement that said Mickie James has decided to retire, that was released tomorrow, she would have the credentials to go into this year's Hall of Fame. And I was thinking that. I said, Mickie James could retire right now and go in the WWE Hall of Fame this year. That's how much of a legendary Hall of Fame credential status that she has. But it's kind of like, I think she's at the point of kind of like overstaying her welcome. And it's tough to say that with, you know, someone who's getting good money, you know, paying bills. She has a kid. But it's like, can she be a trainer? You know, can she make a lot of money being a trainer or something like that? Kind of being in the business from a backstage perspective, because Mickie James as a name right now is just forgettable, and she doesn't deserve that. But she's in a position at this point where there's nothing. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, the times where she was feuding with Alexa Bliss, you know, for the Raw Women's Championship, I liked them. You know, there were some times when people felt that she could have won the championship. But at the same time, it's like, what now? I mean, what now? I don't see anything. Got a question there. Mickie can still go. She's being booked poorly. Here's the thing. Mickie James can still go. She's still very good in the ring. I mean, she's not old, right? I mean, she's, what, 38? So, you know, she's still got some time. Still, you know, still got a few years left. But still, it's like, man, I just don't see... I don't see it anymore with Mickie James as far as just how she's being booked. In the ring, she's really good still. Veteran in the ring. But just the way WWE's booking Mickie James is not good. Real quick, snapshot thoughts on Elimination Chamber. I was okay. I think it was a good thing that Alexa Bliss won. Women's Chamber was a really good match. I liked the pacing of it. Sheamus Cesaro against Titus Apollo, decent match, but who ever thinks that they're going to, you know, Titus and Apollo was going to win the match. I call them the new TNA, Titus and Apollo. Asuka Nia Jax was decent. They've had better matches. I think they're kind of doing overkill because they're going against each other next week on Raw. Like, why in the world are they doing? And real quick, they were plugging. I was watching Mixed Match Challenge, and they were plugging Asuka's streak being over on the tag match, which is not true. Like, you can't do that. Like, first of all, it's two things. First of all, you're not going to have Asuka lose in a tag match, lose her streak in the Mixed Match Challenge. So basically, you just tipped your hand on who's going to win the whole thing, because of course you're not going to have Asuka lose or end her streak in the Mixed Match Challenge. If you're doing this whole, you don't want to lose her streak is being jeopardized in a tag match. If that's the case, she lost a while ago. I know she teamed up with Ember Moon or something like that, that she lost. They lost. I mean, they lost the match. And then they start saying that she has been unpinned, unsubmitted as a singles wrestler. But it was a tag match that they lost. I'm trying to figure out where it is. That it was sometime last year. It was sometime last year where there was she was a part of a tag team match that they lost the match. I'll find it as far as just what it was. But it wasn't, you know, I was thinking in my head, like, you can't just do the whole, okay, here it is. Lana and Nia Jax lost against Asuka and Dara Baronato, which is Sonya Deville, Daria. That was in May 27, 2016, but I think there was an NXT one too. Some more ones, 2016 March, some house shows when Bayley was champ, some more women's championship matches, house shows. Okay, so Battle Royal when Carmella won, she lost that one. So she hasn't won every single match that she was a part of. And yeah. So if you want to do the whole your streak is being jeopardized even in a tag match, I mean, you can't do that. You know, that's one of those things that would be inaccurate. That would be inaccurate to say. So, like I said, I mean, they also tipped the hand of who's going to win, because of course they're not going to have her lose her streak in a mixed match challenge out of anything. So we know who's going to win now. congratulations, WWE, for spoiling that for us. But I was just, thinking about that during the whole mixed match challenge thing. But I think it is overkill, with her and Nia Jax. I don't see the point of that. And I was very upset when they had Nia Jax destroy Asuka after Asuka won that match. That was absolutely terrible. Why in the world would you spend so much time building Asuka to be why in the world would you want Asuka, someone who you are building, to be a part of WrestleMania, you're building her as a name, undefeated streak, Asuka. And why in the world would you have her go against Nia Jax for a considerable amount of time and then turn around and automatically after the match get destroyed by Nia Jax? That was a terrible way to build Asuka. It was very, very poor booking with that segment there. Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, I predicted Matt Hardy to win just because Bray Wyatt beat him at the Raw 25 and beat him. I think it was another Raw as well that he beat him. So it was Matt Hardy's time to win. I definitely think this is going to be carried over to WrestleMania. They'll do some type of gimmick match. I hope it's not as bad as the House of Horrors with Randy Orton. It just seems like with Bray Wyatt at this point, his career is so stagnant that it's so sad and it's so stagnant that it seems like everything leads to some type of gimmick match with Bray Wyatt. It's like, hey, so I'm going to do Orton. So let's think about it. When he went against Randy Orton, they did a House of Hardcore, House of Horrors, and they did their gimmicked match at WrestleMania with all the worms and the roaches and all the maggots and whatever. And you had Kane. I think that was like an Inferno match they did with that. That was gimmicked. And then they had there was also, I'm missing one with Bray Wyatt. There was another one that was gimmicked with Bray Wyatt that he had with someone else. I don't remember what it was. But he had now he's having this gimmicked match with Finn Balor, the whole Sister Abigail. That's who it was. So he goes against Finn Balor for months and months and months. So he has another gimmick match with the whole Sister Abigail thing. Now he's doing another gimmick match with Matt Hardy. And it's like, Well, he didn't do the Sister Abigail because he was sick, but he was about to do the Sister Abigail. And it's like, is this the career of Bray Wyatt? I'm going to feud with someone for like 3-4 months. I'm going to end it with some type of gimmick match. I'm not going to get anything from it. And I'm just going to go to the next person. I mean, just think of Bray Wyatt's career. Just think of all the Hall of Famer, you know, all of Hall of Fame worthy names that he did, that he's feuded against. John Cena, The Undertaker, Chris Jericho, Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, Kane. It's like all of these Hall of Fame bound names that he's feuded with over the past few years. I mean, count Dean Ambrose, count Seth Rollins, count Finn Balor. He has been in feuds with world champion after world champion after world champion, and still his career has not grown, has not gotten better. So he's in a really tough spot right now. The Ronda Rousey contract signing was good to me. I think it went much better than expected. I liked the whole suplex spot. The Stephanie slap, I don't think it was necessary. She kind of played to the fact that she kind of played to Stephanie and being scared with Stephanie, I think that was good. But we'll talk about Raw here in a minute as far as just how bad that was. Roman Reigns wins the Man's Elimination Chamber. I'm totally fine with that. I think there's a story behind Reigns and Lesnar, especially after what we saw on Raw. But, again, just with Asuka, why in the world? You had Braun Strowman pin every single person other than Roman Reigns. You had Braun Strowman pin him. So, obviously, he's over enough. They put him over tremendously. It was very clear that Braun Strowman had his moment, and he slipped up. He lost against Roman Reigns, but he beat everybody else. To attack Roman Reigns after the match, people started booing him. It's like I tweeted this. WWE knows how to fool a foolproof plan, and that's what they did with Braun Strowman at Elimination Chamber. It was no reason at all that Braun Strowman should have attacked Roman Reigns. I think it was a terrible call. Terrible call that they did that. And it didn't make Roman Reigns look good at all. All right, before we get into Raw, let's do another trivia question. Other than Yokozuna, who lost the WWE title at WrestleMania 9? Other than my Yokozuna, who lost the WWE title at WrestleMania 9. All right, so back on Raw, John Cena, the in-ring promo. He challenges The Undertaker, and then he said that that's not going to happen. And then he said he wanted to do, you know, he wanted to have a path to WrestleMania, and he was going to go on SmackDown Live. So, I don't know. I mean, how do you feel about that? I don't know. I don't know. I don't really think it's a good idea. You know, it seems like they were trying to do that thing with Taker just to get the crowd reaction, just to kind of keep it in people's minds. People started chanting Undertaker as soon as he said that, so people knew that they were going to do that. But, you know, he's John Cena. I mean, why are we building so much around John Cena being a part of WrestleMania? I mean, there's always the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal that he can be dumped in, you know. So there's John Cena not having a clear path to WrestleMania is a bad approach. Got a bunch of comments here. Roman's Chamber was the match tonight. NXT Roman's Chamber doesn't count for or go loss of any type. Well, she was in a tag match. She's lost a tag match before. LeBron with Elimination Chamber chasing the Miz on top was really awesome. Then they're setting up Jax to fight Bliss and Asuka fight Charlotte. See, that's the thing. And again, why though? Why? I mean, it's clear that Nia Jax is playing a very, you know, strong heel. Alexa did a fantastic promo at the end of her win to get heel heat, and heel versus heel at Mania for the Raw Women's Championship is a bad call. Bad call. And plus, you don't want to do. I mean, so you're getting Charlotte and Ruby Riott in a couple weeks. You don't want to start a feud, you know, less than a month before Mania, you know, for a title. It's just, I'm not a fan of that. Wyatt and Hardy at Mania at the Hardy compound. Yeah, it seems like they'll probably do something like that. They need Wyatt back with the Wyatt family. Yeah, I agree. But you have the Bludgeon Brothers that is on Raw right now, on SmackDown right now. So who would be a Wyatt family? Do you turn Strowman heel again? I think I've been saying this for a long time. I think Bray Wyatt should be a babyface. But what do they do? See, here would be something though that I think would be interesting. Right now they have no one in the tag team championship scene right now. I think it would be very, very interesting to turn Bray Wyatt face, team with Braun Strowman, they team and go against the Bar for the tag team championship. I think that would be interesting because you can always turn that into Bray Wyatt doing all that and getting on the people's side just to, at the end, try to lure Braun Strowman back into the dark side, back into the darkness. You can always do something like that. So you can have a Bray Wyatt versus Braun Strowman match down the line because it was all a ruse. Bray Wyatt was trying to get Braun Strowman and lure him back and into the family. So you could do something like that. I mean, it'll be much more intriguing than anything Wyatt's doing nowadays anyway. So. Great job, all the people who got the right answer. Bret Hart is the answer. Great job. It is Bret Hart. Next question of the night. Here we go. What were the two matches which Hulk Hogan was a part of at WrestleMania 9? What were the two matches which Hulk Hogan was a part of at WrestleMania 9? So let's go into Rhea defeating Slater and Rhino, you know, whatever. Poor Rhino, though. I mean, Rhino should be in a better spot than what he is now. I think so. At least on NXT. I mean, when he was on NXT, you know, he was a much better spot, you know, as far as just meaning something. Now he's just kind of lost in the shuffle. I think that he should be. I think Rhino should go back to NXT. He could be the man in NXT. Just imagine like a Rhino versus Lars Sullivan, you know, Rhino versus Killian Dane. Those would be really interesting. I mean, you know, I think the Rhino would be in some really good spots. There's a bunch of matches that could be set up for him. Rhino versus Ono. So. I think there would be some good matches set up for him. Right now, he's just, man, you know, he's just there. So they set up the whole Finn Balor and Reigns beat Miz, and then Club, Miz Raj, then Balor beats Miz. I like this. I like this. I think that, see, my pick would have been, I think they should have done a ladder match because, you know, they were starting to do the ladder matches for a couple of years, kind of, be a tradition for WrestleMania to put some you know top names, upper mid card names in good spots. I think that they should have done a ladder match this year as well because you got a bunch of names who could be utilized in good ways. I mean, you don't have, there's nothing with Braun Strowman right now. So you could have had Strowman, Elias, Finn, Rollins, Miz, and somebody else, you know, maybe so five, six or seven people, maybe like an Apollo would have a good spot there. So you can have a six or seven person ladder match. And well, I mean, why not? You know, Miz, there's a very, very, very high chance that Miz is going to lose the belt because Maurice is due within that area, within days before or during that area of WrestleMania. So, you know, he'll probably be away for a little bit before his new baby. So there's a really good chance that, you know, he'll lose the match as far as at WrestleMania. So why not? I mean, are we going to see Braun Strowman and Elias? I like Elias. I like Braun Strowman. I think both of them are really, really two of the best, you know, rising stars in the entire WWE right now. But if you give one person the rub, does it hurt the other person? If Elias loses, I don't think that's going to really hurt Elias. I don't know if Strowman versus Elias has that WrestleMania feel to it. Now, granted, it would be huge for Elias. That would be huge for Elias. He's getting a big WrestleMania spot, a marquee match. He's not a part of a multi-person, just kind of throwaway match. I think that would be huge. I mean, you know, if I'm Elias, I'm like, bring it on. Give me Braun Strowman. I'm all for it. But, you know, from a fan's perspective, does Braun Strowman and Elias have a marquee mania feel to it? I don't think so. I wouldn't be totally opposed or against it happening. I wouldn't be totally against it happening. However, I don't think it really has that WrestleMania feel to it. I do think both of them should be in a multi-person match for the Intercontinental Championship. I think that would be better. It doesn't seem like they're going to do Strowman and Rousey, which it was a better spot for Strowman, but to me that was still a bit odd. I know that he still has some history with Triple H from Survivor Series, but it was still kind of odd to see Strowman and Rousey together because Strowman is so big. You know, you don't want to dwarf Ronda Rousey, you know, too much because Taz was it was actually shooting on that. Because Stephanie McMahon was doing that. If you have Braun Strowman next to Ronda Rousey, I think that wouldn't really look too good for Rousey. Like, this whole thing is for the sake of Ronda Rousey. Like, at the end of the day, we want Ronda Rousey to be to grow stock in her name in the WWE. Everybody else are utility players. They're a supporting cast to Ronda Rousey having a bigger, better, having the spotlight of this match. This is for Ronda Rousey. So who do you bring in as a good supporting cast to make this work? They feel that Kurt Angle is good enough. Seemingly, they feel that Kurt Angle is good enough at this point. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure seeing him in his gear and coming out to his music and everything, you know, it may change my mind when I'm at Mania. But I don't know. I mean, of course, The Rock probably won't do it because of his schedule. I've said this for weeks. I think Bobby Lashley should be the guy. I think they should pick Bobby Lashley. You know, he's reportedly agreed to terms with WWE. He can appear anytime. You know, of course, you know, the Raw after Mania is usually a good time to make stuff like that happen. But I think, you know, I would be a fan if they put Bobby Lashley as a part of as Ronda Rousey's partner. They both are MMA background. It's a good way to bring in Lashley without having. See here's how I would do it. So you, Kurt Angle, could say you sucker punch me, you know, I'm not available to I'm not able to wrestle, blah, blah, blah. But I do have someone who can fill my role. I do have someone who's ready and primed and willing to defeat, you know, the authority, the Triple H McMahon. You guys are you guys are abusing your power. I do have someone who will be able to dethrone you. So out comes Bobby Lashley, and Lashley teams up with Rousey to go against Triple H and Stephanie at WrestleMania. And then what you can do is this. After WrestleMania, leading into SummerSlam, and if Lesnar does not re-sign, you can still have this work and lead it to someone else. But if Lesnar does resign, I think you can set this up even better. So basically, Rousey can turn on Lashley and side with Heyman. And so basically that can lead up to Lashley versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. So I think Lashley being the pick would be a much better than Strowman or Kurt Angle. Someone's saying, can you really feel sorry for Cena? No. Wise versus Sandy after WrestleMania. Okay, we'll see. Great job. Here's the correct answer. Very, very good. Mega Maniacs with Brutus Beefcake versus Money Inc. And, of course, he stole Bret Hart's spotlight to defeat Yokozuna at the end of WrestleMania. Talk about stealing spotlights, man. there's been reports for years brewing that Hulk Hogan didn't want to lose against Bret Hart. So they did the real quick, you know, because back in the day, it was like, you know, face versus face wasn't really a deal. It wasn't really, you know, existed. If you, in order to kind of prep or have the next baby face win, there is a transitional heel that comes in between. We saw that with Billy. We saw that with Superstar Graham. We saw that with Ivan Koloff. So that was kind of like the transition. Iron Sheik was another one. So that was the kind of like the transition heel to kind of prep and prime the babyface to win. So Hogan, you know, basically Vince wanted Bret Hart to just say beat Hogan, but Hogan he didn't want anything to do with it. So 2 out of 3 Titus and Apollo. Again, nobody thought that they were going to win the tag team championships. And then, like we talked at the end, we talked as far as the Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. As far as SmackDown, I really liked the Usos and New Day part. I like Big E kind of coming out of the shell, you know, kind of being a little bit more serious. I like the New Day's character and jovial. I love it. New Day is one of my favorites, but it was kind of cool to see, you know, Big E show some mic skills. I think he did a fantastic job cutting that promo and being serious about it. And I usually am critical about the Usos promos, but I will say this. I do think that this one was good to me. I'm okay with this one. Ruby Riott just beating Naomi. I think it was a given. Just Naomi just losing like that, though, I'm not a big fan of. I like Ruby Riott, but the Riott Squad is just like, you know, just there's no connection that I have with the Riott Squad. I just Ruby Riott's a really good. She's good as a heel. I don't necessarily know. I haven't really connected to that yet, but I think a decent championship contender for a B pay-per-view. I'm not totally opposed to Riott being in the championship run against Charlotte. It's just this six woman stuff, it's not really making anyone look good outside of all of this. What if they have Braun versus SmackDown star gender? That actually wouldn't be a bad idea. Someone said Lashley versus McMahon again at Mania. Yeah, essentially. Yeah, because Lashley was it 23, I believe, Battle of the Billionaires. And so, yeah, I mean, you can use that as well. That actually wouldn't be a bad idea if you did a Raw versus SmackDown. The only thing is I don't want to see, like, Kurt Angle and Shane feud and saying my brand is better. But if they don't do that, I definitely think that Braun versus gender, I'd be totally fine with that. I think that's actually a pretty good idea if they do a cross-brand type of deal between Braun and gender. So I would be very interested in that. Here's the next question. Who retained the WWE Women's Championship at WrestleMania 10? Who retained the WWE Women's Championship at WrestleMania 10? Cena versus Styles was good, but just I've never been a fan of world champions losing on Raw. I don't care if it's a non-title match. I would prefer John Cena being in a handicap match against Owens and Zayn than just losing to Styles. I mean, instead of beating Styles. I'm not a fan of that. I'm just not. I understand that it's Cena. He's been a multi-time, 16-time champion. But it doesn't make AJ look like a champion. It doesn't make him stand out. It doesn't make him any different if he just loses a match on SmackDown. I mean, he's done that quite a few times. He's lost against Owens. He's lost against Zayn. Lost against Cena. There's nothing that the WWE is doing right now to make AJ Styles stand out. There's no way in the world that they would do that to Brock Lesnar, and I definitely think just doing that to AJ is a bad call. Like I said, I would rather for Cena to beat Zayn and Owens in a handicap match than beating Styles. So, yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think we got some answers here. Yes! Absolutely. Alundra Blaze. All right, last question before we get to the flavor of the week, before I give you a list of names of who should be in the Hall of Fame. Last question. What venue hosted WrestleMania 9? What venue hosted WrestleMania 9? All right, so... yeah, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready for the flavor of the week. I got a bunch of names, and you want to give me your thoughts on if these people should be in the Hall of Fame. Here we go.
It is now time for the flavor of the week.
All right, here we go. I got some. This is going to be pretty fun. I got a bunch of names for you. Caesar's Palace. Yes. Vegas Caesar's Palace. All right. First name. Should Umaga be in the Hall of Fame? Should Umaga be in the Hall of Fame? Decent, three-minute warning. Umaga, is it strong enough to be in the Hall of Fame, though? That's the biggest thing. Is it a Hall of Fame worthy career for Umaga as a whole? So, what are your thoughts for Umaga being in the Hall of Fame? I would say that he missed the cut, unfortunately. But, I mean, then you have three-minute warning, though. The three-minute warning wasn't strong enough as a tag team. Yeah, I think he barely misses the cut. Barely misses the cut. Umaga. Yeah. Barely misses the cut. Only because of his family name is a comment that I see here. The Fatu family. So perhaps the Fatu family in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. There's some Fatus that shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's maybe barely misses it as far as just being in the Hall of Fame. I wouldn't be opposed to him being in the Hall of Fame, but as far as the Hall of Fame career, WWE, I'm not confident on that. Next name, Bruce Pritchard. Do you believe that Bruce Pritchard should be in the Hall of Fame? Brother Love. I love Bruce Pritchard as Brother Love should be in the Hall of Fame. I say yes. I think Brother Love for late 80s, early 90s was a fantastic character. Fantastic character. Man is the Undertaker for a hiccup. He actually, in the interview with Wrestling Inc., he actually explained the reason why he stopped managing the Undertaker. It was pretty interesting. I say yeah. Very hard to see if Bulldog's having a hard time getting in as far as Umaga. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a good idea. I think that's a good call. Bruce Pritchard. Should Bruce Pritchard be in the Hall of Fame? Brother Love, exactly, with all them rings, red face. Yeah, I agree. All right, a few more. Next person, Superstar Bill Dundee. Superstar Bill Dundee. I say without a doubt, yes. Without a doubt, yes, for Bill Dundee. I think that he has had a fantastic career. I've had him on my show before. This guy has been wrestling for a long, 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 long time. And if you want to bring AWA people, you know, I think if you want to put in all these, if they start putting in bookers, I think that was a Pritchard comment, but yeah, I think that Bill Dundee should be in. I think he has a Hall of Fame career, not necessarily in WWE, but if you're going to put in people like Nick Bockwinkle and Vern Gagne, people who didn't even really step foot in WWE, I think you got to put in someone like a Bill Dundee if you're putting in AWA people. Someone's saying none of name recognition. I beg to differ. I think Bill Dundee's a legend in the business. Especially if you're putting, like I said, people like Bockwinkle. All right, a couple more. Dirty Dutch Mantel. Of course, we know him. His latest stint was Seb Coulter, but again, Continental, Mantel. Do you put Dutch Mantel in the Hall of Fame? I think he may just miss the cut. I think he may just miss the cut. I think he may just miss the cut. I think that he has a Hall of Fame kind of. He has a Hall of Fame worthy career, but as far as just someone saying no for Dutch, I think someone saying, especially if we're talking the old territories, yes. You know, I don't think you really widen your credentials too much if you are talking about the Hall of Fame. So I think it's just a really slight no for Dutch Mantel. All right, last one for this week. Here we go. Lex Luger, ladies and gentlemen, should Lex Luger be in the Hall of Fame? I think without a doubt, yes, Lex Luger should be in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the biggest names at WCW for a while. Former WCW champion. Didn't have too much of a successful WWE career, but he was in there. He won the Royal Rumble. Co-won a Royal Rumble. Was featured at SummerSlam. Was featured at WrestleMania. So. Also, the live stream, the live chat agrees as well with a yes. So, yes, I agree. Lex Luger should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. That is what I believe, and the live stream agrees with me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Episode 309. We had Paul Diamond in the beginning of the show. So for those who join us the live chat after the interview, so go ahead and download audio on iTunes or on Blog Talk Radio. Download that, and you will get to see, you'll get to hear the interview. I have weekly interviews every week. This week was with Paul Diamond. Last week was with Shane Taylor from ROH, and every week before was with Colt Toombs and Brian Cage. Just every week I have a have an interview. I had one recently with Eric Bischoff. So if you download, for people listening on the live stream or an audio, download it. You'll get the interview at the beginning of the podcast, and of course the video cast that will be starting to air on Wrestling Inc. as well. So stay tuned for that. Follow at Crave Wrestling on Twitter. Follow me at Chris Prolific. Ladies and gentlemen, 309 episodes of the Pancake Power Slam Show. It's been a pleasure. Thanks to Paul Diamond for the interview today. Thanks for everybody in live stream. Great interaction. Thanks for joining us. Until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless. Have a good night. Goodbye.